Turn your Bibles this morning to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. In the New Testament, towards the back of the Bible there, 1 Timothy chapter 4. We'll be reading verses 6 through 9 of 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'll read the even verses 6 and 8, if you'll join with me on verses 7 and 9 this morning. If you found 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you'll please stand in honor of reading of God's Word this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse number 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all expectation. And let's pray this morning. Again, Father, we're so thankful for the opportunity we have to open up your good book this morning. And Lord, I pray that we'd have, as we've prayed in weeks, that we'd have opening hearts and listening ears to what you have for us. The man of God has prepared something for each one of us this morning. I pray that we'd listen attentively for what you have for each one. Prepare our hearts for the message with the singing, and we'll thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen.
Of time is gone, when the choir of heaven gathers to begin redemption's song, I will bow before my Savior in a body new and whole. Then I'll praise to sing his praises while eternal ages roll. I stand redeemed by the blood of Jesus. The price is paid. My debt is gone. The chains that bind
song this morning. That was a blessing. I want to draw your attention to the last phrase of verse number 8 we read with Brother Bragg a moment ago. and of that which is to come. That's what I want to speak to you this morning. The subject, that which is to come. That which is to come. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts this morning. Our Father, we're grateful today for your eternal book. And thankful that we have it in our laps, our hands, we hold it, and we can read it, and your Spirit can teach us from it. And the key to that is your Spirit being here in power to teach us. And I pray that our hearts and minds will be open and ready to receive what the Spirit of God brings our direction this morning. I want to be the conduit. I want to be the tool. Lord, if I could just be the pipeline through which you speak to hearts this morning, I would be very pleased. Help me today and help everybody that's here to listen carefully. May we all learn together from your blessed book in Jesus' name. And amen. Are you aware of the term, or I guess the acronym or the abbreviation, YOLO? I asked that in my Sunday school class upstairs just a little while ago. YOLO. I didn't say yellow. I didn't say hello. I said YOLO, spelled Y-O-L-O. YOLO. Now, those engaged in the world of social media, and especially those of you texting addicts, you know what YOLO means. I remember the first time I became aware that it was possible to send something called a text. It blew my mind. I couldn't believe that you could take a pad and, like a typewriter, and type some, you know, push some buttons and type some words, and then hit the call button or the send button, whatever it is, and it actually sent the word from your phone to the other person's phone. I was absolutely amazed. I didn't live in the world of that technology. That's not my thing. Even today, I use it. I've become, you know, more aware of it, of course, now, and I use texting. But I remember the first time I remember when Abby was in college, and, you know, she had 2,000 texts in 1 month. 2,000. I said, what in the world? And so I checked. I said, give me that. So I checked her text. You know, it was like, okay, yes, no, smiley face, ha ha, no way. All these one or two word responses that were costing me 30 cents each back in those days. And I said, you know what? You could pick up the stinking phone and call that person and tell them okay or hello. I'm not paying 30 cents for you to send the letter K to somebody. Heaven help us. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Those of y'all my age, okay, you know, we're just not into this. But anyway, you know, so yeah. So anyway, there is a dictionary of codes. Or abbreviations or acronyms or short little acronyms that people type or text. You're familiar with it. You know, LOL, laugh out loud. And some that shouldn't be used by God's people. I've talked about that before. OMG, which means stands for Oh My God. You should never throw God's name around in vain. You should only throw God, you only use God's name in honor and respect. But anyway, I learned this week about YOLO. Y-O-L-O. Of course, I was at a youth conference all week. You know, these young youth pastors, you know, they preach to these kids and they speak their language, you know. And one of these days they're going to figure out some of us are too old for the teenagers anymore. But YOLO, you only live once. YOLO. And why would you want to tell somebody that? Well, you know, somebody's about to jump. You know, they're about to jump off a cliff. You know, so it's important that everybody know they're about to jump off the cliff. So they say, about to jump off the cliff, YOLO. In other words, I've only got one life, so I might as well live it till it's full. You know, it reminds me of what I heard, you know, about the rednecks' famous last words. Hey, y'all, watch this. You know, so that kind of reminds me of that. I'm fixing to jump off this cliff, so YOLO, you know. You only live once. You only live once. I heard that. I guess that's used in the world of texting nowadays. You only live once. And, you know, to some, that's just a faddish saying. But, you know, I was thinking about that. To many, that's a philosophy of life. You only live once. It's a philosophy of life, YOLO. Advertisers have captured the essence of this philosophy down through the years. And I remember, and unfortunately remember, what sticks out in my mind is years and years ago, there was a beer company. I don't think they're even in existence anymore. You'd have to ask Mike Johnson about that, I guess. But anyway, you only go around once in life, so you've got to grab for all the gusto you can. In other words, you only got one life to live, so you might as well live it up. You only live once. YOLO. Now, you know, Paul, in another scripture in 2 Thessalonians 2, he warned of strong delusions that would someday come right after the rapture takes place. Delusion, deception. That means the misleading of the mind. And by the way, somebody told me this week up at the conference, and I don't know anything about this except for I did see an advertisement that caught my eye on a webpage. I was reading the news, and it's an HBO miniseries that's starting sometime this year called The Leftovers. You know what it's about? It's about a group of people that gets hauled off, I guess, to an alien planet somewhere. A group of people who are active in the world all of a sudden show up missing, and they're gone. And The Leftovers is for those who are left behind, those who are still here on planet Earth. Isn't it interesting that Hollywood would have that in their sights? The Leftovers. I'll say something, folks, listen very carefully. One of the most dangerous things I can think of about not being saved and not being taken out of here in the rapture of the church is the strong delusion that is going to come on this world. How are they going to explain millions of missing Christians? They got to come up with some way to explain that. And the Bible tells us that God sends strong delusions so that people will believe a lie. And boy, that scares me. That scares me for people who aren't saved. And this is Paul's warning about it. Hey, listen, YOLO is a delusion. You only live once, that's a delusion. And certainly there are many deceptions of the devil that are already permeating society today that they're not waiting for the rapture of the church. YOLO would be one of them. You only live once? Really? You only live once? Now I think here that my thought for this morning, you know, we know that theologically that is incorrect. We know that you do not live only once, but how many of us believe it to the point that it affects the practice, the exercise? That's the word used in verse number 8. How many of us believe it to the point that it affects the exercise of our life? To bring it a little closer to home, to where you and I live, did we do anything this past week, these past 7 days, that proved we don't believe YOLO? We don't believe you only live once. Now, you see, in this passage of the Bible here, it's written from one preacher to another. Paul is writing to Timothy, and Timothy being the younger person, the younger pastor, the younger man in the ministry, Paul was his mentor. And Paul was instructing Timothy concerning the danger of the Judaizers. Those of you who have been with us on Wednesday night in the study of Galatians, you understand the Judaizers. Those who tried to place New Testament Christians, and in some cases, New Testament preachers, under the ceremonial ordinances of the Old Testament law. And then going beyond that, look at verse number 3. This is what he's in this chapter here. This is what they were doing. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. In other words, this is what the Judaizers were teaching. You pastors, you want to be effective. You cannot marry and you need to abstain from meats. In verse number 6, look at it here. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. What Paul was telling Timothy, he's saying, look, you share this information with your congregation. You share this information with the people that you preach to on a weekly basis. And Timothy, you make sure that you get some good spiritual nourishment for your own soul along the way. Look at verse number 7. Refuse profane and old wives' fables. What's he talking about? He's talking about you can't marry and you can't eat meat. He said, you refuse those things. Those things are empty. They don't add anything to the Christian life. These are silly and empty teachings. Timothy, you avoid that. Watch it. You exercise yourself, therefore, rather unto godliness. Timothy, you avoid those things that are waste of time. You can't marry and you can't eat meat. But you make sure you give yourself to that which is godly, because godliness profits. Look at verse number 8. He says, bodily exercise profiteth little. Now, folks, he's not talking about adopting that as a way of life. I don't exercise. Why don't you exercise? The Bible says it profits little. That's not what he's talking about here. Okay, he's not talking about that at all. He, again, is speaking about the silliness of no marriage and the silliness of no meat. Oh, man, you're not married and you don't eat any meat. These pass, for great acts of self-denial, but in reality, they are empty. Paul says, Timothy, avoid those things. And he says, godliness is profitable unto all things. Now watch it. Having, verse number 8, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. You know what Paul is saying? He's saying all these silly and vain traditions. You can't marry and you can't eat meat. They are empty and they mean nothing. And for that kind of thing is only profitable for a little while. It looks good. It looks impressive. But it means nothing. Nothing whatsoever. Timothy, you need to give your attention to that which is to come. That which is to come. Now, folks, wait a minute. Whoa. There is a difference between the life that now is and that which is to come. And when Paul talks about that which is to come, he puts a real dent in this matter of YOLO. You only live once. Hey, folks, either YOLO is right or the Bible is right. Because that's two different things. Either the Bible is wrong and YOLO is right, or the YOLO is wrong and the Bible is right. And I just want to encourage us that we better stick with the Bible in this matter. Remember the question, did you and I do anything these past 7 days that proved we don't believe you only live once? Did you do anything godly this week? If you involved yourself in anything godly this week, then according to verse number 8, that not only profits you in this life, but it also profits you in that which is to come. That which is to come. Have you given any thought? You know, you talk to people sometimes. You knock on their door, hand them, or just see them out on the sidewalk and hand them a gospel tract and ask them the question, do you ever think about eternity? You know what you hear a lot of times? No. No. And I understand that from the world that's lost. But God's people? Do you ever think about it? Has the thought of the life which is to come crossed our mind in the last 7 days? You only live once? I don't think so. There's a better philosophy. There's a biblical philosophy. And that's what Paul is dealing with here in this section of the Word of God. Let me just give you some observation, some obvious things about this matter of YOLO. You only live once. And by the way, this is nobody's sermon that I copied from youth conference. I heard one reference to, yeah, some of you kids, you love to type, though, you know, text the word YOLO. I didn't even know what it meant. I had to ask the person, you only live once. And so let me give you some obvious observations about this. Let me just nail this down first of all. YOLO is not true. Look at the end of verse number 8. The life that now is and of that which is to come. People, I don't think it takes a Greek dictionary here to see that those are two different things. The life that now is and the life that which is to come. That's two different types of life. That's temporal life, temporary life. And that's eternal life. Those are two different things. The idea that you only live once and then you die and you go to the grave and that's it. It's over. That is a false life. Hood. You only live once is the promotion of a lie. And we know who is behind all lies. We know who is the father of all lies. Satan. The idea that we only live once is a false idea. 2 Corinthians 4:18, Paul talked about not looking only at the things which are temporal, but making sure that we keep our eyes on the eternal. This life is temporary. When you think of temporary, when you think of temporal, think of cotton candy. When you think of temporal, think of soap bubbles. Ever done soap bubbles with your children? Or your grandkids? Take the little wand out of the little, you know, a bottle and whoosh, there are those soap bubbles and those little kids will start running after them. How long does that last? A matter of seconds? And those soap bubbles are gone? When you think of temporary or temporal, think of vapor. When you think of, if you have children and you think of temporary, think of quiet. Or still. Well, the kids were little. We used to go to the folks' house to visit in Georgia. I used to talk to Mom on the phone. We're excited about y'all coming. Or I would say to her, are you ready for constant noise and constant motion? Because that's what children are. Constant noise and constant motion. When you think of temporary, if you have children, think of quiet or still. People, that's the kind of life that God is talking about here. Temporary. The life that now is temporary. The world in which you and I are now living is temporary. You say, I don't believe that's been around for billions and billions and billions of years. Now, who sold you that bill of goods? Billions of years. You know, the Bible dates the earth as only about 6,000 years old. And you're going to take the word of some cockeyed scientist over the Bible? I don't think I'd do that. No, this world hasn't been here for billions and billions of years, and it's not going to be here for billions and billions of years. This world is temporary. This life is temporal. The life which is to come is eternal. And it's difficult for us to wrap our minds around eternal living, eternal life. You say, when I try to think about living and living and living and living and living and living and living, my mind can't comprehend it. True, but it doesn't mean it's not real. Doesn't mean it's not true. Just because our minds can't comprehend it. We're talking about two different kind of things here. We're talking about temporal life and eternal life. And Paul said, Timothy, don't get caught up in living for only that which is temporary or temporal. You've got to live for that which is to come. So YOLO is not true. Let me say number two this morning, that YOLO, you only live once, is dangerous. It's dangerous. And here's why, people. If you take the approach that we only live once, then you will not make any preparation for that which is to come. You will only exercise yourself in that which is for a little time. The soap bubble. The cotton candy. The vapor. That's what James called this life. It is a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. And if you swallow the philosophy of you only live once, then you're going to live for that which is only temporary. You won't make any preparation for that which is to come. You'll exercise yourself in that which is a soap bubble. Is that how you want to spend your life? For that which is like a soap bubble? Do you know what is so dangerous about that kind of philosophy? Listen carefully. Whatever we do, now this is a mind-boggling to me, but whatever we do for that which is to come has to be done during the life that now is. You're going to live for the eternal? You have to live for the eternal now. Well, when I get to eternity, I'll take care of living for eternity. Be too late. Everything that's done for eternity is done in this life. in this temporal short life. So the eternal has to be prepared for in the temporal. We need to use the life that now is to prepare for the life which is to come. But when you buy into the philosophy of YOLO, you only live once, you're not even thinking about the eternal. Why would you? I'm going to die and it's going to be done. That's dangerous. You know, in the financial world, it's pretty dangerous to not make any plans for retirement when you're young and in middle age. And boy, you hear about that all the time. And when you get my age, it's more and more. You start paying attention more and more to those kind of news articles and everything. You know, if you wait till you're 62 or 65 years of age to start planning retirement, that's not very... Would you say that would be a mistake? To wait to age 62? I'm going to start planning for retirement now. Excuse me? At 62? At 65, I'm going to start planning for retirement? Hey, whoa, time out. Man, what have you done? You should have started back when you were 25 and 30 and 35 and 40. You've waited till you're age 65 and now you're going to plan for retirement? You have made a big mistake. And that would be a big mistake. But I'm going to tell you one greater than that. Far greater than that. Is to live your whole life for this. And not make preparation for eternity. And that's exactly what Paul is talking to Timothy about in this passage. Timothy, you only have the life that now is to prepare for that which is to come. And so if you use the life that now is only for that which is, you're not going to be prepared for that which is to come. Are you with me this morning? It's a little play on words, but are you getting it? Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing to me. Listen again. It kind of stops me in my tracks just for a minute mentally to think that I have a temporal life on this planet. This world is temporal. And during that little short temporal life, it is like a soap bubble. That's the time frame I have to prepare for the eternal. That's why YOLO is dangerous. You only live once. When it's over, it's over. I'm reminded of the man in Luke chapter 16. The Bible says he enjoyed all the good things in life. The Bible says he fared sumptuously. He had fine dining, fine living. He was clothed in purple, which was a picture of royalty. In this life, he had it all. No preparation for the life which is to come. And when he died, the Bible says he lifted up his eyes in hell. I'm going to tell you, that's a mistake. You say, well, that's a parable. That's not a parable. That is a real story with real names that came from the lips of Jesus Christ himself. What a disaster. And friend, I'm going to tell you something. That poor man, he was a rich man, but in reality, he was a poor man, wasn't he? He found out 2 seconds after death that YOLO is dangerous. The idea of you only live once is dangerous. And so many people take that approach to preparing for eternity. And friend, let me just say this morning in this part of the message that, you know, if YOLO is true, you only live once. Let me ask you a question. Why did Jesus come to this earth and die? Why did He leave heaven? Why did He go to the cross? Why did He have our sin placed on His own body on the cross and suffer our hell for us? If this life is all there is, why on earth did Jesus go through all the horror of the crucifixion? Why did He do that? If there's no eternity, if you only live once, you go to the grave and that's it, why did He come? The very truth of His coming, the very reality of His coming is proof positive. This life is not all there is. YOLO's a lie. There is a life which is to come. and child of God, my goodness, yes, Jesus, we understand that. For those of you who are not saved, you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven. Jesus Christ came to this earth. He went through that immense, awful suffering on the cross of Calvary to pay our sin debt. He was crucified. He was buried. He rose again to prove that He was the Son of God. And through His death, burial, and resurrection, you and I can make preparation for eternity. You cannot make preparation for eternity by attending a church, getting baptized, being a good person, by being an American citizen. You've got to make preparation for eternity by trusting in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. My. I would imagine that the vast majority of people in this room are probably saved. You've probably done that. You probably have come to the place where you realize you were a sinner. You heard the message that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again for your salvation. And you simply trusted in Him by faith to save you. And by the way, let me say, it is by faith, not of works. This little idea of a balance someday, and all my good on this side, and all my bad on this side, you're going to weigh it all out, and boy, I sure hope my good outweighs the bad. That is an absolute fairy tale. Goodness gracious. Salvation is by faith in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And I got good news for you. Jesus wants to save you. He wants you to have eternal life. He wants you to go to heaven someday, live with Him, God, all the rest of the saints and angels in glory. But you're going to have to come to Jesus to be saved. And you're going to have to make that preparation now. Now. Because you only have the life that now is to prepare for the life which is to come. You got to make it now. So YOLO is not true. YOLO is dangerous. Let me say thirdly this morning, lastly, YOLO can be motivating. The idea of you only live once can be turned around and used to motivate God's people. You only live once? Well, then you know what? I better make sure that my one life here on planet Earth is used in light of that which is to come. We better use the temporal to prepare for the eternal. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. That's different than you only live once. That's you only live down here once. And you're going to live up there, hopefully forever. But what you do down here for that, for Christ, is the only thing that will last forever and ever and ever throughout eternity. That can be very motivating. I don't know about you, but I want to make sure I invest this life for that which is to come. That which is to come. YOLO, you only live once? I don't think so. The Bible is eternal. Prayer is eternal. I'll tell you something else that's eternal. People are eternal. And when you invest in people's lives, in a Christian testimony, a Christian witness, a witness for our Savior, you are doing something that is an investment for eternity. Not all of them will accept the message of Christ, but they all should hear. They all should hear. I have the privilege of preaching. Not everybody in this room is called to preach. But if you're not called to preach, that doesn't mean that you can't invest your life in some form of godliness, something that will matter in eternity. Every Christian has the opportunity to invest their life in something that has eternal weight. Eternal weight. Not cotton candy. And folks, I don't know about you, but sometimes it kind of makes me feel about this big. When I stop and ask the Holy Spirit to analyze my life and just point out the things in my life that are really of eternal significance. When you let Him do that, He starts putting His finger on all this stuff that's a soap bubble. Those soap bubbles can be fun. They don't last long. And there's a lot of pleasures in this life that aren't necessarily wrong. They're not wrong. It's not wrong to play a game of golf. It's not wrong to enjoy hunting or fishing. It's not wrong for you ladies to have your recreation and your hobbies. It's not wrong. But that's soap bubble. That's a vapor. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. Living in pursuit of the dollar, not to meet your needs, but to get more and more and more. What riches are? A soap bubble. Oh, they're fun, they're helpful. But when it comes to eternity, it's a vapor. It's gone. I got to step back once in a while, let the Spirit of God analyze my life. What are you doing in your life that is an investment in the eternal? That which is eternal. Every Christian has the opportunity in the course of a 7-day period from week to week to invest some of their time in the eternal. The life which is to come. I get the opportunity of preaching. That's what God has called me to do and lets me do. And you know, once in a while, it's a great blessing. And Friday night was it Thursday night at the youth conference in Elgin. It was just one of those services. You can't explain it. It has no explanation. But the Spirit of God came in that service in such a fashion that the invitation started and there was no coaxing, there was no begging. It lasted an hour and a half. Bernadette's sister got saved, I guess, Thursday night. And the young people it was incredible. I just walked off the platform and sat down. We didn't get out to, I don't know what time it was, an hour and a half after the service ended. And the kids were just, there was no begging, no up there saying, come on, none of that stuff. Just went on and on, people praying and weeping. You know, and I will tell you, folks, I'm more convinced than ever we've so geared our services away from that. Come on. And I'm going to tell you what God loves. God loves a broken and a contrite heart.
That's right.
And we've so geared our services and our emotions away from ever weeping at an altar. We would never do that. We miss out on some wonderful blessings.
Amen.
Wonderful blessings. I'm not into abbreviations. If I text the word, I type it out. I'm not against them. I just don't know them. I don't even send smiley faces. I would send frowny faces more often than smiley faces. YOLO. What is that? You only live once. And that is a common, popular text permeating our society. Really? Really? You only live once? I wouldn't gamble on that. I wouldn't gamble. I'd take what God's book says. I'd get saved if I was lost. And if I was a saved person, I'd step back and let the Holy Spirit of God analyze my life. In the last 7 days, how much of the time God gave me was invested in the eternal. The eternal. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning, paying attention in the service. Please don't tune me out. Listen carefully now. Let's let the Spirit of God speak to our hearts today. The life that now is and that which is to come. There's a difference. What are you investing your time in? I know that the vast majority of you do not believe in that. You only live once. But again, my question today, if you let the Spirit of God analyze your life, analyze it. How much of the past 7 days was spent on that which is eternal? Who would say this morning, Pastor, pray for me. If I step back and let the Spirit of God analyze that in my life, I'm afraid that I would be a little bit embarrassed or ashamed. It's very thought-provoking. And the Spirit of God came to my seat this morning and caused me to think a little bit about my life and the exercise of my life in the eternal, not just the temporal. Pray for me. Would you lift a hand, please, all over the room this morning? God bless you. I appreciate your honesty. Thank you. Take your hands down. Anybody else like that this morning? I pray for me. I'm concerned about the exercise of my life when it comes to the temporal versus the eternal. Pray for me. I should have raised my hand just a moment ago. I was hesitant. I'll raise it now and say, pray for me. Anybody like that this morning? Pray for me on that. God bless you. Somebody else. That's wonderful. You may take your hand down. Yes, I see your hand. God bless you. Amen. Now, let me ask this question this morning. How many folks would say, Pastor, when it comes to the matter of salvation, that matter is settled in my heart. I know that I have been saved by trusting in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm saved and I know it, and I'm on my way to heaven because of it. Would you please lift your hand in testimony to that this morning and be honest about it? Thank you. I appreciate it. You can take your hand down. Now, is there somebody here this morning who could not raise a hand? Say, Pastor, I didn't raise my hand just a moment ago. You asked for those who knew for sure, and I did not raise my hand because I do not know for sure. Would you raise your hand? Just slip it up in the air right now. Let me see it quickly. Put it up right back down. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I didn't raise my hand a moment ago because I don't know where I'm going when I die. Somebody like that this morning? If you're here this morning, you know for sure that you've been saved. You need to be baptized and follow the Lord in believers' baptism. You came for that reason. You came wanting to obey Christ today. Now's the time to come. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one is looking. And I know we have at least one this morning who's going to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Others of you have been thinking about it. And if you want to take that step of obedience this morning, be a great time to do it and obey the Lord Jesus Christ or just learn more about it. All right, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Now listen, if the Spirit of God spoke to your heart today, this matter of the eternal versus the temporary, how much of my life is invested in that which is to come? If the Spirit of God spoke to you about it, I would do Him the honor of talking back to God at the altar this morning. Don't hesitate. You come if you need to be saved. We have people that can show you how to be saved or baptized or whatever the need is. Father, bless as only You can and will in Jesus' name. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and they're playing a song of invitation this morning. Let me encourage you to obey the Lord. Take a step out of your seat today, and you come down and pray. God, speak to your heart about this. You only live once? I don't think so. I don't think so. The life that now is, the life which is to come. If you're not sure that you're saved, would you please come? Let us take a Bible today and show you how to be saved. If you're a child of God this morning, you don't want to invest your life only in that which is temporal.